Are you like me? Do you worry about your friends or yourself having a stroke? Well, guess what? Dr. Scott Sageman is here, and we also have Paul McGinty here as well. They're both with St. Joseph Hospital, and today we're going to talk about a free community. It's not a forum. What did you call it?
Community Health Forum.
Yeah, it is a forum. Okay, I did it right. And it's coming up this Wednesday at
the Sequoia Conference Center from 5:30 to 7:30.
And you're going to be talking about what to look for stroke.
Stroke signs and prevention, and a little bit about the neurosurgery department at St. Joe's.
And I'm not having one right now. I just want you guys to talk about it. That's all. So how come you're doing this?
The St. Joseph and Redwood Memorial Hospital Foundations are co-sponsoring this just as a way to get our physicians out there amongst the people in the community. It's just a free educational forum. So we're doing these about once a quarter. We're doing this one on stroke signs and prevention and neurosurgery. And then in November and December, we're doing one on hips and knees, sports injuries, chronic joint pain. We kind of pick different specialties that we feature at both of our hospitals and try to get them out there into the community so people can get free medical advice and free access to these great specialists that we have here in the community.
Well, I think a lot of people, as we get older or even younger, I mean, strokes can probably happen to anybody at any time. We have questions like, what are the signs? Let's talk about this, Scott. Now, you work at the hospital. You see stroke victims all the time.
I do. Usually in the ICU, I'll see patients who have had what we consider first-line therapy for strokes, in which we give them a clot-busting medication. It's the same type of medication that used to be given routinely for heart attacks, and it dramatically decreases the chances of having some permanent disability associated with stroke. It's interesting because the organization nationally that's probably taken the greatest lead on this is actually the American Heart Association, because stroke is a manifestation of cardiovascular disease outside of the heart.
Mm-hmm.
The big issues that I would like to just emphasize is the fact that probably 80%, that's one out of five, actually come to the hospital, get evaluated, and receive urgent treatment to kind of save brain tissue when they've had the onset of stroke symptoms. And that means four out of those five put themselves out of the window because they've delayed presenting with symptoms of a stroke. And so Katie will probably say, and what are those? And they can be varied. It depends which area of the brain is affected by the interruption of blood flow.
Mm-hmm.
And I think many of us are familiar with the whole notion that, well, you know, grandpa all of a sudden started slurring their speech, their face was drooping, and their right arm and leg didn't work worth a hoot.
Mm-hmm.
That would certainly be a red flag to me. There are oftentimes more subtle manifestations, and sometimes it's really impossible, certainly for a non-physician, to figure this out, and that's the reason why any new onset of a neurological sign or symptom, people should run, don't walk, mm-hmm. to the nearest emergency department for evaluation.
And I was reading online, of course, I Googled everything today, so you can correct me. It seems like what I read was the quicker you can help that person, get them to the hospital, the better chances they have. And it was, they gave a 3-hour frame.
Absolutely right. Some folks may have heard this saying that time is brain.
Mm-hmm.
This is just like a heart attack. People's outcome, starting from survival all the way down to what residual type of disability one might have, are directly related to how fast you get seen, how quickly you get therapy on board. And the longer you delay, the greater the likelihood of permanent deficits.
So those signs, again, would be our slurring of speech. Would it be our thought process, like all of a sudden we can't?
That's one manifestation. The real problem is if you're having such a severe stroke that you can't really think clearly, usually you're not cognizant of the fact that you need to call 911. Right. If you can actually get the phone call off, they know exactly where you are. Mm-hmm. But you'd mentioned earlier about this three-hour window, and that pertains to the initiation of thrombolytic therapy, which is what it's called. The common name for that is clot-busting therapy, where the majority of strokes are caused by blood vessels that clot up in the brain, in particular arteries. And so if, as soon as you decrease the blood supply to that part of the brain, it starts to become permanently broken. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it can recover if you restore blood flow quickly enough. And if you get to the hospital, frankly, it's up to 4.5 hours. But the longer you delay, the less great the chances are for you to actually have no or minimal deficits 6 months down the road.
Now, can all the hospitals here in Humboldt County handle all of us coming in with that sort of problem? Do they know immediately if we say, my friend here is not talking right and things are not going right? Will they know what to do immediately to get to them?
My experience, because St. Joe's receives a lot of transfers from our hospitals, we've got, you know, Gerald Phelps down in South County, Redwood Memorial, and Mad River, is if the patient, if it's touch and go in the window, they may send the patient to St. Joe. If not, all the emergency department physicians are very well trained in recognizing this and initiating therapy if it needs to be initiated.
Okay.
So the specific hospital that you go to is perhaps not quite as important early on as getting to a hospital.
Right, right. I know sometimes that it seems like the ERs are inundated all at once and they come and go. And
they, anybody who's had experience with any emergency department knows it's not like driving through and ordering a hamburger and picking it up 5 minutes later. It can be a very long and drawn out process. There are staff in position, either physicians, nurse practitioners, or PAs, whose job it is to triage people. And we know people who are having acute strokes go to the top of the pile. I would caution people that if you have a toothache and you figure you can shorten your course by telling people that your right arm and right leg don't work, that would probably not be a good idea. But there are triage priorities, and that's a high priority.
Good. Okay. Excellent to know. Excellent. So we're talking about strokes. Now, there's different types, as we just talked about. Can you talk a little bit more about these? We hear about plaque all the time that gets loose that causes the blockage, right? Is it plaque? Am I doing it wrong? Am I saying it wrong?
That's right on the money. The plaque, what you're referring to, are manifestations of vascular disease.
Right.
The same process, if it progresses along in the heart, all of a sudden causes the blood to stop flowing past this occlusion and you have a heart attack.
Right.
Same thing with larger blood vessels that supply the brain. And there are a number of ways that we can muck those things up, but the final common pathway is that the blood stops flowing to everything down past a certain point in the stream, and all of the brain that's kept alive by blood flow that's served by that artery is going to start telling you very quickly that it's going to die if something urgent is not done. The processes that increase people's risk for stroke are the same type of risk factors that exist for heart attacks: high blood pressure, high cholesterol, diabetes, strong family history, cigarette smoking. So some of those risk factors are modifiable, some of them aren't. Family history is a little bit difficult to change, mm-hmm. so that if all of your male first-degree relatives drop dead from a stroke or a heart attack in their 40s and you're 49,
mm-hmm.
that would be a little disconcerting. But there are other lifestyle changes people can adopt that will significantly decrease their risk for bad things in either their heart or their brain.
So it sounds like live a healthy life, eat good food, exercise.
Absolutely. Don't you hate it when that's the advice for virtually everything?
Yes.
But it's true. I mean, there's plenty of data to back those recommendations up.
Right. And you're giving it to us right now. So at this forum that you're doing on Wednesday and again the following Wednesday in Fortuna, how is it set up for what you're going to be talking about? Is it what we're doing right now? You have a presentation, I'm guessing.
I do not.
Oh, you don't? Okay.
I have a far more qualified colleague who's going to be doing that. That's Lynn Perkins, who is our nurse manager of our ICU. She's an extraordinarily talented nurse who, frankly, I think is one of the finest ICU nurses I've ever worked with. She's got an enormous background in critical care, in nursing education, in patient education. Sometimes physicians tend to dive deep in the weeds too quickly. Lynn is a wonderful educator, and she's going to be talking about, I think, the topics and issues that the average person wants to know about, which is, well, how do I know if I'm really having a stroke?
Right.
People have woken up. I mean, I know I have once in a blue moon. My left arm doesn't work. It's
right.
Floppy. It's just hanging on me.
Right.
You know, am I having a stroke, or did I just happen to sleep on it so that I occluded the blood supply for a little while? And those are difficult calls sometimes, and so I would say if you have any doubt, you gotta show up to get evaluated.
Always show up, it sounds like. So now everybody listening is gonna go to the ER when their arm falls
well
asleep,
hopefully,
right?
if they've got a stroke in evolution, they will.
Yeah, we're here to save lives
and decrease the disability associated with other injuries, especially to the brain. And that's where the biggest emphasis for, I think, early diagnosis and treatment of stroke comes in, because the sooner you diagnose it and treat it and start working on recovery, the better the long-term outcomes.
Excellent. So we're almost out of time. Give the time and dates and where to go.
5:30 to 7:30 this Wednesday, October 5th at the Sequoia Conference Center in Eureka. Or 5:30 to 7:30 October 12th at the River Lodge in Fortuna. And for any more information or to RSVP, please call Susan Vogt at 269-4205.
Thank you so much to the two of you for coming in, Dr. Scott Sageman and Paul McGinty, for coming in from St. Joseph Hospital. Thank you so much.
Thank you.